Welcome to Awakened Hearts. I am your host, Midge Noble. The Awakened Hearts podcast is a place where we choose compassion, loving kindness, and a heart-centered life. I believe that everyone is on earth to serve a sacred contract. I believe that we were all created to be compassionate, loving, and kind to ourselves and to all living souls. I believe that we can awaken our hearts and heal old wounds. I believe that we all have the power to transform our pain into our most authentic, spiritual, compassionate, and best selves. I believe we deserve to feel empowered to speak up and set boundaries and be valued by those we love and respected by those we meet along our path. Welcome back, Bodhi Seekers, to another episode of Awakened Hearts, and I'm so glad that you're with me today. I'm excited because we're going to talk about leading with love in the face of hate. There has been so much hate in this world. I know it's always been present. I was talking to a dear person the other day, and they talked about how, you know, hate has always been there, that we've always struggled with, people not liking other people. You know, we went through the whole Hitler thing, and we went through racism, and even in the beginning of time, it's never been perfect. You know, people picked sides, and it's always been a journey, and we've always tried to figure it out as a culture. How do we coexist with each other without, you know, always having to pick sides and be hateful? So I had this really amazing experience the other day, where I had, I've been marketing, the new business. I've been, doing some posts. I've been having a lot of fun meeting new people and signing folks up to have coaching with me. And it's just been a great few months. And I've loved it. I've loved every minute of it. And I just thought, you know, that this is like, it fits me. It fits me to leave with love and be full of compassion and be excited about really charging people up to find their voice, to transform their pain, to go to power. Yeah. So when we're feeling pain and we feel so vulnerable and we feel so sad, that vulnerability always wants more power. But sometimes we turn that pain and the sadness into anger because that's our most powerful emotion. But what if we could transform the pain that we feel into authentic power, not blind rage or ticked offness? What if from our core, from our heart, from our soul, we could take and hold that pain and shame and transform that into an authentic, powerful voice to speak our needs, to say what we feel, to say what we want, and to be really clear about the purpose we have on this earth? That is the journey that I'm taking. And I so do believe that everybody has the birthright to take that journey, to find their authentic power. But first, we have to transform that pain. The pain is holding on to the past, the core beliefs that were put into us through the bottle, practically. You know, when you think about it, you know, we all assumed all of the values and the thoughts and beliefs of our parents through those critical years of birth to five. And it doesn't mean that all of the messages were negative, but if there was a message of poverty, if there was a message of hierarchy that we are better than them because, or that race is not okay, or that religion is not okay, you know, even as awesome, you know, as some ministers are, you know, there are ministers who believe that they're going to heaven, but the guy down the road in the other church isn't because they believe the wrong thing. When really, I think all the paths, if you're going toward love, that love transforms everything. And it absolutely is the most powerful thing. Not whether or not you believe I'm going to lay in the ground and wait for Jesus to come back, or I'm going to rise when I die and go to heaven. I don't really think that matters. I think it matters. Did I live my life in love? Did I lead with love? Do I have compassion? Am I always trying to align my divine source with my actions? I think that's what matters. Whether or not I go to heaven and it's an actual spot, I really don't care. I don't care. I care about the present now and whether or not I'm living the life that lines me up with my divine source, and am I doing the right thing according to that? That's that feeling inside of me. So when I decided to create the Empowering Awakened Hearts business, when I knew that I would be not working in my current position later this year, it was all about that empowering my heart and empowering the hearts of others to speak our clear voice, to find that voice. And of course, I think, although it's not exclusive and this is a generalization, but I think that the people who struggle the most with finding our authentic power are women and our LGBTQ community, because women forever, you know, paid less, not given certain positions, you know, even as little kids were divided between pink and blue. Hate pink, by the way, but, you know, don't like that color. So we're divided between pink and blue. There are certain toys you're allowed to have if you're a boy, you're not supposed to have a doll if you're a boy. You don't do this if you're a girl. We just subtly, it was, and sometimes boldly, we were given the idea that there is only an acceptable thing for women to do, an acceptable thing for men to do. And yeah, there have been women that have busted out of those chains and the confines of society, and they've done amazing things. But on a whole, if you look at the culture, it's taken us a long time to claim our authentic power as women. It's taken a long time for the LGBTQ community to be able to stand boldly and have equal rights. I've been in a relationship with my wife for over 30 years, and yet it's just been, you know, in the last few years that we were able to legally marry. And that's sad. That's really sad that we came that it took that long for, you know, anybody to have some sort of equal rights. But it's not done. It's not done. Since the election, there was an FBI research paper that was done that the day after the election, the last election, 17% rise in hate crimes. 17%. And since the election, it has been phenomenal how many hate crimes continue to pop up. I know it's always been there. I know that. However, the rise in the intensity and the boldness of these hate crimes is staggering to me. And it's because as a culture, we're not leading with love. We lead out of fear. We lead out of ego and superiority. We're leading out of being bullies. We're not leading with love. And it was very clear to me the other day when I realized that even though my intentions with my Empowering Awakened Hearts business is to lead with love and compassion and to transform pain to authentic power, you know, for those who need that and are aligned with me that we need our authentic power, but we first have to transform that pain. However, I can lead with love, but not everyone's going to follow. And the sad thing is, that it really does make a difference what's in your heart and what you're trying to do. So the other day, I had done some posts and I was doing some marketing, and all of a sudden, I got an alert that someone had left me a message on my business page on Facebook. And I thought, how awesome is that? That's like, you know, man, I'm putting some stuff out there and people are coming, and that's awesome. So I went and I looked at it, and the post said, I don't like this. I don't agree with this. I'm sorry. I'm like, wow, who doesn't like awakening hearts and being, you know, compassionate and loving? But okay. So I just wrote back, no problem. But my settings on the business page were set up so that if someone does give me a negative review about anything that they've experienced, you know, through the business, whether it's a class or whether it's coaching or whatever, if there's a negative review, then I have set up a statement that I want to send back to them. And the statement paraphrases says that, you know, I really care about what what I do as a business, you know, as a business and as a service. And I am always open to feedback, and I would welcome a conversation about what didn't fit them. Now, this person has never been coached by me. This person has never been in a class with me. And this person has never been, as far as I know, in any kind of presentation I've given. But they decided to reply to that, you know, message. And it was the most homophobic, hate-filled message that just took my breath away, because I have been in such a culture of love and empowerment and excitement to all of a sudden be faced again. It's not the first time this has happened in my lifetime, but to be faced again with such a bold-faced, hate-filled message. And it took my breath away. It did shock me. I was totally surprised that that's what came back to me. And I deleted it. Now, talking with someone later about this, they said, "Ooh, you shouldn't delete things like that, because, you know," and they started going down that fear bubble of risk and that I could be in danger, which is, I know that's true. As a gay woman in the South, and in many places, I mean, you know, Matthew Shepard was in Wyoming, so, you know, and he was killed. So I know that hate does not have really state boundaries. Hate is hate, and it is oozing throughout this universe right now. But I just deleted it, because it was like, that's not meant for me. And that's the key point. That's not meant for me. So this is where I'm headed with this, that I could have written something ugly back. I could have gone into a bubble of darkness and depression because somebody didn't like me. Now, remember, as a people pleaser back in the day, I was a people pleaser and I loved pleasing people. I still do love pleasing people. I still do like people to like what I do. But I'm beginning to realize that if I'm lined up in my purpose and I feel inspired to speak a certain way or to do something a certain way, whether people like it or not, I will be lined up with the people who need to hear this message. So if my message irritates someone, there are two reasons why that happens. It irritates someone because it's something that's not, that they don't need, or they're irritated because their soul is kind of, you know, pushing their heart a little bit to open up to receive what they need to hear, and they've been avoiding it. So clearly, you know, when we get irritated by something, that rub either says, hey, you're out of alignment, or that rub says, pay attention. Here, I'm giving this to you again. You haven't heard it for the last 30 times I presented it to you by all these different people. Hear it again. Hear it again. Okay? So I want us to be really clear about how we show up in the face of hate. Because if I cooperate with the hate, if I hate back, if I get all offended and all, you know, rageful, then I am now part of that problem, that culture of hate. I don't know this person. And I'm pretty clear we're not going to have any kind of relationship in the future, because the amount of hate that he poured out in that message, I don't think he's really open to discussing an alternative way of living his life. And that is not my responsibility to change him. It is my responsibility to radiate my inner love for all people who are filled with anger and hate. I radiate that energy to people. And you know, I did not hate him when I read it. I was shocked. I was a little taken back. I was like, whoa, you know, wow. But the point of me being able to say, hey, that's not about me. I don't align with his belief that I'm less human, that I'm less of a person, that I don't deserve to be here. And I'm not going to, I deleted it, so I don't remember every single way he said what he said. And I don't want to give those words power. They were ugly words, and I'm not going to give them power on this airways, but I wanted to talk about this today because it resonated so with me where I was at, what space I was at in that moment, and why that's so powerful. So let's take a break, and I'm going to pick up after the break about the real power and the real opportunity for me in this lesson that I'm learning, not only about people, but also about myself. So let's take a short break. Hey guys, have you ever thought about starting your own podcast like I'm doing here? I used to have a radio show on the internet, and I absolutely loved it. The downside was I had to pay to be the host. I had to pay a lot of money. I loved my show, and I still had lots more to say. I just didn't want to pay so much to have conversations with you. That's when I found Anchor. I am so excited because Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, distributing, and monetizing my own podcast. Instead of me paying out a lot of money, I have the potential to get paid for using my voice and talking about what is important to me and hearing your stories. I love connecting with all of you, and Anchor has given my voice to you. So if you're ready to start your own podcast, go to anchor.fm/start to join me and the diverse community of podcasters already using Anchor. That's anchor.fm/start. I can't wait to hear your podcast. Thanks for joining the Gay with God community. Welcome back, everybody. And I hope you had a good break. So this is how I have transformed. As a young person, as I said, I was always searching for external validation. I was always trying to make the peace. And so no matter what, I would laugh off pain that I had. I would act like I wasn't in pain. I would act like everything was fine. My facade was always about being competent and engaged and outgoing. And I am an outgoing person, but there was always a piece of me that felt so unworthy and so disconnected to every other person I was locking eyes with that it made me really insecure and really feeling unworthy. And so then recognizing and realizing that I was gay just heaped on a whole lot more, you know, internal strife inside of my soul, because it wasn't because I was gay and I wasn't supposed to be. It was because, you know, that was another way for me to have to try to, you know, be accepted. So my whole life had been so external that when someone could not accept me, when they had a negative reaction to anything I did, I felt that pain because I wasn't accepting myself. I wasn't connected to my soul. I was only connected to the pleasing others and leading the life that others felt like I should live. And when you're not in authentic power, then the pain is going to be there, because only when we are lined up with our purpose in our authentic self, can we feel real joy and love and toward ourselves. When I am disconnected from my authentic power and source and purpose, I will have so much swirling negativity. It could be self-doubt. It could be unworthiness. It could be fear. It could be physical pains and physical illnesses. It could be anorexia or, you know, an addiction issue, because we will find things to focus on to cover up that pain that we're living in, and we don't know how to transform it yet. So all pain can be transformed. We can heal from physical things. You know, people diagnosed with stage 4 cancer are healed and they live cancer-free for the rest of their natural life. You know, people who have come back from a suicide attempt can recover and transform and lead a life of guiding others into their authentic power. As a gay woman in a small red state, you know, it is on the front lines of staying connected to my authentic power, because there is a lot of judgment and negativity. And, you know, in the on the business page. When that happened the other day, it was like, whoa, even though I don't see myself as doing evil work, I see myself as opening the blinds to open the light into someone's soul to say, hey, I transformed my pain and I have authentic power and I can show you how to get there. I did it. You can do it. You don't have to kill yourself. You don't have to, you know, not live the life you were intended to live and hide behind the shadows of the person everybody thinks you are. We are only free when we speak our truth. We are only free when we speak our truth. And I don't have to speak my truth with rage. I don't have to speak my truth with a big hammer. I just need to live it. When I live my truth, I'm speaking my truth. When I speak my truth, I'm speaking my truth. So when I'm saying I'm gay, I'm speaking my truth. When I introduce my wife and I say, this is my wife, I'm speaking my truth. The other day I was in session and it's become so organic with me. It just came out in session. Now in a therapy session, you know, people will ask you questions and sometimes it's appropriate to answer and sometimes it's not. But there was we were having a conversation and all of a sudden I just said, well, when my wife and I just kept talking and they just kept listening. And we had a great conversation. And it's amazing. It's almost like I can feel this connection where this person is going to need to talk about something. So as soon as I did that, they came back with, ooh, you know, my nephew's gay. And I'm so happy to know that, you know, he'll have role models to look up to because people are beginning to come out and he's going to be safer. Wow. Everybody knows that, you know, it's not always safe. And so, you know, people have sometimes stayed quiet because they're not safe. And as we talked in the previous podcast, you do have to consider your safety. Of course you do. You know, I'm not going to put myself at undue risk, but didn't think that opening up an online coaching business and doing classes and, you know, serving others to transform pain to their authentic power, didn't know that was going to be one of those things that somebody would find a way to twist it back to a hate crime against gay people. And because I am aligned with serving, you know, women who need to transform their pain and the LGBT community, I know now that as I continue to speak more authentically about who I serve and what my purpose is and what I'm doing, that there probably will be in the future more people wanting to share their belief about how I'm wrong. And here's the beautiful part. I feel worthy. I am not destroyed by those comments. I don't believe them. I don't believe I'm going to hell. I don't believe that there's something genetically wrong with me. I don't believe that I had a bad experience and that's what made me gay. I don't believe any of the things that people are saying. I know my soul. I am probably more connected to my soul than possibly that man is, because your soul is not generating hate. It's not. If you think your heart is giving you a hate-filled message, you're not in your heart. And you are disconnected, speaking from a place of darkness and not love. Love is not hate. And they don't reside in the same space. So if I'm in an angry, hateful mood, I have left my heart space and I'm off on the far edge of where I need to be. When my love returns, or if I, you know, when I allow that hate to leave and I reframe it, or I get, you know, I do what I have to do with it, the love returns, but they're not going to stand in there together. Okay. And I really believe that when we can transform our pain, then the love is present, because then we're aligned with our soul and who we were meant to be. So in this search for for my authentic power. I didn't realize until that moment that I am really, really there at this point. I know I'm not perfect, but I am so positively there that that comment had no emotional reaction for me on a pain level. Like I said, I was shocked, caught off guard a little bit, had to kind of reorient myself to, oh my, you know, but it did not in any little teeny tiny bit make me feel less than who I was. And it would have in the past, my friends, oh my gosh, that one comment would have derailed me. I might not have opened, you know, continued with my business. I mean, I really would have taken it to heart in a negative way, but it never fazed me emotionally because I am in such the sweetest spot right now with my purpose, with my alignment, with my soul, with my divinity. I am so connected to my purpose that his comment was almost like, and it was almost like a little arrow that bounced off of my shield. Kaboom! Oh, what was that? I think it was a mosquito. But it just never resonated in my soul because my soul knows who I am. And I am now so connected to my soul that I know who I am. I am worthy. I am a valuable person on this earth. And I am so filled with joy. And there's expansion. Expansion is like the opposite of constriction. So if something's all constricted and balled up and it can't move, but when we allow our soul to speak our truth, that ball just unravels and opens and moves forward and expands. That is the most beautiful, sweet spot you can be in. It is the sweet spot. So when we're faced with such hate, we have to be ready because the hate will be powerful and the hate will resonate with you if you have not transformed that pain. You have to transform the pain. And the pain can come from, you know, whatever you were taught growing up about who you value, who's good enough, who's going to go to hell, who's this, who's that. We were fed homophobia from the time we were born. And not in a negative, horrible way necessarily. I think because our parents were fed that and they believed it, it was a natural thing for them to teach it. Churches teach it. Society embraces the fact that there is some sort of reason why gay people are not good enough. And they use the Bible, but I promise you, they have interpreted that Bible incorrectly according to Midge. And I really believe, like that book that I talked about last time is The Homosexual and Your Neighbor. I really believe that there has been a culture of misunderstanding about who we are and about our right to be on this earth. Okay. And so I encourage you that if you are gay, if you continue to resonate with that hate that you've been taught, and I know that you are productive and you're professional and you're awesome people. I know all that. I'm with you. I'm right there. I'm professional. I'm productive and I'm awesome. But I, in my soul, in the silence, in the darkness, all this time growing up, I couldn't feel it. I couldn't feel my authentic power. I couldn't resonate with it. I was fearful of being found out that I was gay. I was fearful of being attacked. I was fearful, fearful, fearful. And I felt unworthy. And I was always going down to the altar, even though I didn't know I was gay at the time. There was something that, you know, I'm somehow being judged. And I knew it. I knew it. But I just didn't know what it was. And when I was able to go through all that I went through, and I've come into the space of authentic power and love and worthiness, it can't get to me. Your comments, whoever wants to make them, whoever wants to send me a negative review, whoever wants to bash the love that I have for everybody, it can't get to me. I am in this bubble of purpose. I am aligned with who I was always created to be. Now, I've been leading with love in sessions forever. However, I am now aligned with a divine purpose to take those souls who are in the middle of the pain and are ready to transform that and claim their authentic power. And I love it. I love it that I know that about me. I love it that I know that this is my moment. This is my moment to be able to have a business, to be in a relationship with people who are struggling, and I can show them the way. So when we are faced with such hate, what are we going to choose? I choose love. I have a choice. And I may not totally agree with what somebody else is doing, but I still have a choice that I will either partner with the hate and the fear, or I will stand in my authentic power and not allow that to affect my soul, my purpose, my alignment. I am worthy. You are worthy. You have every right to be here, to be valued, to be seen, to be heard, to be respected, to walk hand in hand down the road and not be discriminated against, not be attacked, and not be killed. And you have to know that that's your birthright. And to find your voice and be able to have that voice resonate your truth and lead that voice into whatever aligned purpose that is for you. So for me and my soul, when I'm in the face of hate, I will lead with love. And I don't think I'll be wrong. Thank you for joining me for this episode. And if you want to check out my page on Facebook, it's at Empowering Awakened Hearts, LLC. If you want to know how to create amazing things in your life, you still have time to sign up for my co-creating workshop on February 23rd at my beloved Corgi Haven Lane. And tickets are on sale now at the reduced price of $25, but it'll be $40 at the door. So sign up now and come spend the afternoon on the mountain and learn how to co-create a powerful life for yourself. Okay? So everybody, lead with love. And have a great day. Namaste.
Deep gratitude to my friend Tim McClendon of Tim McClendon Music for allowing me to use an excerpt from Interlude 4, a song found on his CD entitled Sundance.